Blog Talk Radio.
MIA, fellas. This is MIA all day. We talk about the Dolphins winning 7 out of 8 games to have a 9-5 record heading into the playoffs. What do you think about that, Mr. Cleveland? Man, we having technical difficulties, man. I hate to say it, but Cleveland was right all along. He told me back in the week four, just to relax. This is things are going just according to Gates' plans, and that Gates had it all under control. So shout out to Cleveland for his feedback from months ago, telling just to relax because this is going right according to Gates' plan. So. Shout out to Cleveland. The Dolphins are. Cleveland, can you hear me?
Hey, Ken, you got me?
Yeah, I got you. I just wanted to say, I was just giving you a shout out, man, because back in week 3 and week 4, you were saying things are going right according to plan, and the Dolphins were 1-3, and I was giving you a hard time about it, but now we're 9-5, and it looks like you know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, fantastic way to, figure things out and get into the playoff race. I mean, it's been a long time since the Dolphin fans had any type of glimmer of hope of making the playoffs. So the fact that they're hanging tough right here, right now, and, one of their arch nemesis, the Denver Broncos, are starting to spiral out of control is definitely good news down there in the 305.
Yeah, we'll take it. We'll definitely take it. But, another team that's stepping up and playing tough is you had your eye on quietly been a big fan of them, speaking of beating the Broncos, the Tennessee Titans. Marcus Mariota and the Tennessee Titans. You've been on there quietly on their bandwagon, one foot on, one foot off all season long. Now you can stick your chest out a little bit bigger because they're 7-6 above 500, trying to make some noise for the playoff push.
Some very impressive victories on the road. Marcus Mariota being the best young quarterback in the AFC South, taking that team and putting them on his back and taking them as far as he can carry them. Such a smart, efficient quarterback, doesn't make a lot of mistakes and. Makes the most of the weapons that he has at his disposal.
That's your quarterback. I caught that. That's another story for a different day. Even though that quarterback did put up 35 points, against the flailing Vikings, but it was 35 points nonetheless. And then the Kansas City Chiefs, they're able to. Play tough ball and outlast the Raiders last week. Or excuse me, the Chargers. I apologize. The Chargers hung tough. That's what I'm going to say. The Chargers hung tough with the Raiders. The Raiders barely squeaked that one out. Did you lose any confidence in the Raiders with that meager win against their division rival.
Cam, did it lose any confidence in the Raiders? I mean, at this point in the season, there's a lot of things that go on. There's a lot of, you know, injuries you're trying to get over. It's a long grind. You're just trying to, you know, get across that finish line any way you can. So a win's a win. Can't take anything away from the Raiders for getting it in.
Well, I agree with you there. But, man, I'm going to have to, you know, I was trying to hype up Sam Bradford and the Vikings. They were playing tough without Adrian Peterson. Last team to lose in the regular season. And since they lost that one game, they haven't stopped losing. Will Zimmer be back? Is it Adrian Peterson? Is it the quarterback? What do you think? What's your diagnosis on the Minnesota Vikings? Is this collapsing faster than we can think of?
Well, Adrian Peterson, you know, worked his tail off to get back to even play this season. You know, he's been out for, you know, was out for, you know, 13 games. So, you know, him just being back on the field is a minor miracle. Sam Bradford clearly is not worth the first round pick that they gave up to get him. But at the same time, they thought that their defense, special teams, the receiving core could kind of, you know, carry the load for this team as they tried to make the playoffs. And unfortunately, it just was not enough for them. Disappointing.
Yeah, it was. Nobody actually stepped up to give Bradford some help. It looked like, and instead of receivers dropping the ball, Diggs has had two big games the whole season. So it's been tough sledding for the Vikings, and even with their coach going out for a game or two, it kind of really put them in a bad situation. So last week you had Tampa Bay beating up the Cowboys. As you know, they were unable to win as the Cowboys continue to roll. What did you see to give you confidence that the Cowboys can actually be represent the NFC in the Super Bowl?
Oh, boy, I don't know if I really saw anything, Cam, from that game that really gives me confidence that they will be the NFC representatives in the Super Bowl. Definitely helps that they are able to secure that first round bye for the most part, so they get a chance to rest and kind of regroup and kind of get the quarterback controversy windmill going all over again once the playoffs start. So, you know, the fact they were able to hold off Tampa Bay at home, you know, again, at this point in the season, it's impressive any win you get, however you get it. However, you know, there are some teams with a little more playoff experience that will probably be in the fold once the playoff season begins, and not sure that the Cowboys will be the last man standing.
Okay. We'll see how things turn out, man. But they're sure playing with a theme right now. We both had KC beating the Titans. We both had Minnesota over the Colts and lost both of those games. And we also had the Redskins. You know, I obviously didn't predict their collapse of on Monday night, which, you know, it was a horrendous collapse there. You want to comment on the collapse of the Washington Redskins and Kirk Cousins?
You know, not a whole lot to say there. I definitely thought, given the scenario, that Washington would play with a little bit more passion and effort, considering that they, before the game, had a very good chance of getting in the playoffs if they could win out. So to see that kind of poor performance is not necessarily indicative of what the coach is doing, but maybe they're just not talented enough to be one of those teams that get into the big tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, that was I think that was a pretty bad showing, pretty telling showing, and I think he made a lot of money actually on that on that performance there. So that's one of the things I learned from last week. Another thing I learned is when you actually have a quarterback with some instincts and who's willing to take some shots, those shots will turn into TDs, which will actually lead to wins. So kudos to Matt Moore coming off the bench, shaking off the rust, and getting four touchdown passes against the Black Flames of New York. What do you think of Matt Moore's performance on Sunday or Saturday night, as it were?
You know, I know there's a lot of fans down there in the 305 that were, you know, kind of clamoring for his, you know, appearance on the field. And, you know, when he got his opportunity, he made the most of them. I'm certainly not going to say that Matt Moore is the, you know, the future franchise quarterback of that team. He stepped in, did an adequate job. I'll leave it at that. I thought that the Jets left some money on the table there, some things they could have done a little bit differently. But given his situation and his set of circumstances, he was able to do some things, and I'll just leave it at that. Matt Moore.
Okay. You know, the way you answer the question just kind of leads me to believe, I mean, do you ever give the Dolphins any credit? Because here we are, you took the lowly Jets over the Dolphins last week, and then you're taking the lowly Buffalo Bills over the Dolphins this week. I mean, you can't explain it, some of your logic there?
Well, first of all, the Miami Dolphins were starting a quarterback that hadn't played in 14 weeks, so I didn't think it was as much of a stretch there, and it was on the road. And this week they're playing a team that is still has playoff aspirations and is, you know, playing for the job of their coach, who's obviously going to instill some very emotional and passionate speeches to get those guys ready. They do have a Pro Bowl running back in Shady McCoy and a talented quarterback in Tyrod Taylor, and a pretty good defense starting to come around. So, the game is in Buffalo, so I don't think it's that much of a stretch to, you know, say that they're going to win the game.
Okay, well, we'll see how things shake out. I mean, we just stopped David Johnson, who's on pace to break Marshall Faulk's record, and he being one of three running backs to go 1,000 receiving and rushing. We held him down pretty good, so I'm pretty confident in the way we can slow down this guy we have coming up on Sunday. Nonetheless, are the Packers peaking at the right time, or is their division where the Bears just stinks that bad?
You know, it's they definitely are peaking at the right time. They've won several games in a row, including an impressive victory at home over the Seattle Seahawks. A pretty good throw by Aaron Rodgers towards the end of the game, you know, at Chicago to pull that one out. So they've definitely put themselves in a position to make the playoffs with two games left against some formidable opponents. That last game against Detroit. And Detroit should be a doozy. I'm not 100% sold that they're going to make the playoffs, but they definitely have turned things around and have things going in a positive direction. I think it might be a little bit too little too late, however.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll see. They don't have to win their division to get in, and we'll see if the Lions are going to slip up and give them the opportunity to get in. Trevor Siemian. Is he regressing, or did the Super Bowl champions play above and over their heads last year? What's your thoughts on
two things
in the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, two things. I think that Trevor Siemian, you know, is starting to feel the pressures and the grind of a full season in the NFL. I think that he started out very respectable. But as I've said many times on this show, after a certain amount of time, there's just a whole lot of film that people can see on you, and they understand your weaknesses, and they're able to exploit them and take advantage of them, to a much greater extent the later in the season it gets. And, you know, they, the further down the line, as far as a top-tier quarterback you are, the more you get exposed. So I don't think he's regressed necessarily. I think he just is what he is.
Okay. He's just being exposed. Well, is the NFL exposing Adam Gase as a coach of the year this season? What's your thoughts on Adam Gase's performance?
Well, it's admirable that he was able to kind of weather the adversity that he had faced earlier in the year. Lots of diehard Dolphin fans were asking for his head and, thinking maybe they made the wrong decision at head coach once again, comparing him to Philbin and, some of the others that had not had as much success in Miami over recent years. A lot of, other people around the league had always, considered him an offensive mind, and it's been a minor miracle the amount of production he's been able to get out of some of those players down there. And I don't know if Coach of the Year is necessarily in his future. I think that probably goes to another coach in that division. But I think that he's been able to do some things and has the Dolphins pointing in the right direction. And quite possibly they may even make the playoffs this year. So that's something to be said for for Andy Gase.
No coach of the year, huh?
Unfortunately, no coach of the year. But certainly a very admirable performance so far.
I'm thinking the team that you give no faith, no hope into the playoffs, NFL playoffs. This guy gets no recognition. So I tell you what, you're a tough cookie, man. I tell you that. Last week, you said New York, New England, Atlanta, Green Bay, and the Seahawks. In that order for your conference pick, you had them all correct, 15 out of 15.
All right, swept them again.
Well, slow down now. I had Miami, Green Bay, Houston, Atlanta, New England, and I also had 15 out of 15 correct there. So,
okay, I think that's the first one of the year. Okay, good luck. Congratulations.
and so in that area, actually, it's a dead heat there right there. 154, 73% out of 210 picks. So it's a dead heat right now, which is supposed to be created to cause a separation. Somehow I can't shake loose. I can't shake you loose. Going into this week, I have Miami, Oakland, KC, Dallas, and New England. You have New England, San Diego, Green Bay, Dallas, and Tennessee. So that'll be interesting. The Dolphins can earn a playoff spot by a win on Sunday and a loss to the Broncos, or even if they just win the last two games, which is more probable for the Dolphins to get into the playoffs?
It would be more probable that the Dolphins lose. I don't see the Dolphins winning out, so they're going to need some help to get into the playoffs. Denver definitely has a difficult schedule coming up, and we'll see what they're made of. I know losing their starting running back and kind of the transition at quarterback has been a challenge for them. The defense has still been playing lights out, so they're holding New England last week to 16 points. They're doing all they can, so I think it's more likely that Denver helps them out than they win out. That was your question.
Either way, whether you want to give them credit or not, that's still a playoff victory. So appreciate you for appeasing and answering the question. We touched on it a little earlier, the Packers or the Lions winning that division. I said the Lions hang on and actually win that division. Who do you have winning that division?
It's going to be a tough one. The Lions did not look that great against the Giants earlier. They have a tough one against Dallas. We'll see if they can kind of turn things around. I think most people are assuming that it's going to come down to that last game at Detroit at home. to see if they can solidify their playoff dreams. But right now, I would have to give the nod to the Packers just because they're on fire, and Aaron Rodgers has found his MVP touch once again. But again, that game on the road, last game of the season, it's going to be hard to say. We'll see what Matt Stafford's finger feels like as they go forward. But as of right now, I'd probably have to give the Packers a slight edge.
Okay, well, yeah, we got a couple of games to kind of figure that out. I'm looking forward to seeing the Dolphins obviously play the Buffalo Bills this week, and the Packers and the Vikings, see if the Vikings can actually get off the mat there and shake up the Packers' hopes. And then the Lions and the Cowboys, I think it'll be a pretty interesting game through at least a half. What are the games you're looking at this Sunday, sir?
You know, I'm also looking forward to seeing what the Seahawks can do against a division rival in the Arizona Cardinals. There is still the number two seed very much in play for the Seahawks right now. They are in the driver's seat to maintain that number two seed to get the first round bye. So I'm curious to see if they can take care of business and make things happen down there. I'm curious to see how Tampa Bay rebounds from their tough loss at Dallas against the Saints, and see if they can stay in the playoff conversation. So those are the two games I'm looking forward to most notably.
Okay, well, speaking of the Seattle Seahawks, they got a guy number 25 who's had a couple questionable plays this season. The question is integrity or character out there on the football field. I dare say that that play on Thursday where he cheap shotted the quarterback as he's running out of bounds, that play I think deserves a penalty and a fine. I didn't hear of either one being issued upon him, but I know you're a Seahawks fan and you're close to the team and Pete and those are your buddies and this and that, but can you be objective to agree with me that that was a cheap shot there on number 25?
Cam, absolutely not. The hit took place inbounds. It was not helmet to helmet, like the hit that we saw on Monday night with Pro Bowl quarterback Cam Newton. It was simply a play where a young quarterback didn't know how to get down and get out of bounds to save his own health. For the betterment of the team going forward, because you always need your leader and your quarterback out there. So for him to put himself in harm's way like that, really is more of a testament to poor coaching than anything. Richard Sherman, being 6'3", 225 pounds, just ran across the field as hard as he could on a defense that has been number one for the last 4 years, scoring defense going for number five this year. So I think it's just kind of showing you the difference in skill level and effort and, just really, desire out there. There was nothing dirty about the hit, though.
Did I just hear you say the dude who got cheap shotted, it was a result of poor coaching? It was poor coaching on the quarterback because he just took a cheap shot. That's what you just said.
Yes, because if the quarterback had been coached better, he would have known to get down and slide when there was really nothing more to gain from the play, and that leaving yourself exposed like just leaves you opportunity to get hurt. And that's exactly what happened.
Wow, my goodness. Boy, I tell you what, the Spinmeister resides in the Northwest, I see. Okay. You blew me away with that one. This week coming up, for some reason, you're taking Tyrod Taylor over the Miami Dolphins. You have the Chicago Bears getting their fourth win of the season over the Washington Redskins. And that could go either way, but I got the Skins. And then you have the Carolina Panthers at home over the Atlanta Falcons. who is 9-4. Are you hoping Atlanta loses, or did you see something in the Carolina win on Monday to make you think the Carolina Panthers can be a contender again?
Well, I certainly think that, you know, Atlanta looked impressive as far as putting up a lot of points, and that's what they do. I do think that Carolina has shown teams, shown the NFL that even though they're not going to make the playoffs, they do still have some pride, and they're not just going to be pushed over and let this season just kind of go into, the postseason without their presence, but yet still they're going to be able to be a factor and play spoiler. I think they still have some fight left in them, and I think they're going to pull that victory out.
Interesting. Okay, well, we'll see how that one shakes out. I'm with you on the Tennessee Titans, man. They're impressive. Mariota in that running game. I guess I'm more so impressed by Derrick Henry and the combination of Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray. It's just like 1 week one guy is running hard, the next week the other guy is, and so them running together. I mean, that's a lethal combination. Mariota can kind of really take time to kind of grow into his role, so that's a good fit for him. I'm coming around on those Tennessee Titans of yours.
Welcome.
I have Tampa Bay beating the New Orleans Saints, going to New Orleans and winning that game. I guess you think they're going to have a letdown after playing the Cowboys tough. They're just going to have a falter game against the Saints here, or what? What's the deal?
I think it's just a matchup thing. I think that, you know, the Saints force you to score a lot of points, and although the Bucs are very balanced in what it is that they do, and they've proven that they can definitely beat some formidable opponents, certainly at home, I just question whether they're capable of scoring 25 to 30 points, which is what I think they'll have to do to win that game.
What did they score against the Cowboys? 26 points, right?
That's true. They were able to do that against the Cowboys, but I think that they may not be able to replicate that against the Saints, and the Saints and Drew Brees, you know, with not a lot to play for. They can just kind of play real relaxed, loosey-goosey out there and just kind of let it all hang out.
Okay. I see you're pretty high on Chicago winning this game, even considering in the points, huh?
Was Chicago winning that game?
I said, yeah, you're pretty high at Chicago beating the Skins because you took them in the points.
Absolutely. If I'm going to get points in that game, I definitely will take that. They gave Green Bay all they could handle. Matt Barkley is trying to make the most of his audition, you know, kind of like those singers on The Voice. You know, they're just trying to really, you know, just show America that they can shine. Same way Matt Barkley is trying to show the Bears organization that he's ready to take the reins and be the quarterback of the future. Got Alshon Jeffrey back from suspension. Running game getting a little bit better. I think John Fox is making some strides. It may not show in the win-loss column so far, but I think Washington, having basically put themselves in a position where they have to win out, didn't look very impressive against the Carolina Panthers at home on Monday. So, yeah, I think it's something that the Chicago Bears are going to be able to take advantage of.
All right, man. Well, again, every week, man, it's a pleasure to do the show with you. Thank you for your feedback. 1-3, I'm in three different fantasy leagues, and I'm in the championship game in one of them. The two other ones the second one I came in like fifth place, and the other one I really skipped at. How'd you do with the fantasy real quick?
You know, quite honestly, this was probably the worst year for fantasy I've ever had. Although Russell Wilson is my guy, was not a great quarterback for fantasy football this year. Definitely lost some momentum with Todd Gurley not having a very big year, DeAndre Hopkins not having a very big year. So, you know, those three players definitely led to disappointment in my fantasy football leagues, unfortunately.
Yeah, Gurley was a big disappointment for me as well. So I had Gurley in one league. I had Eddie Lacy in another league, and it was all downhill from there, man. But thanks again for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week, people.
Right on, bro. Go off.
Later.
Yeah.